Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Timber Living Log Cabins. For your perfect workspace, living space or hideaway, timberliving.ie.
Well, we had a big surprise for you, no, but Enda McNulty well ruined that one. Pat, oh,
thank you very much, Will. I can hear you trying to bat him away. Yeah, yeah.
Imagine if we didn't have Pat Short, if you'd just been hanging around the building. Look, I was expecting a bit of Pat Short. You're very welcome.
Thank you very much. Good to see you, Brendan.
So you've picked some music for us today that has meant something to you in your life. Of course, and we'll talk about this in a minute. Before you were an actor or a comedian or anything else, you were a musician. But is music important to you?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it's really, I grew up with it. My dad was a musician. My mother was a piano player as well. And everybody in the family, I come from a family of 12, but everyone played an instrument. And music was...
At the same time?
Yeah, no, funny enough, we never did it at the same time.
Really?
We never played together. We're not one of those families that you sit around the kitchen playing a few tunes. I don't think we ever played together at all, any of us.
Yeah.
It's just, my dad was kind of funny about that, actually. He used to teach himself in Kyoltis. He was a primary school headmaster. But he never taught any of us music. I think he did it deliberately because he didn't want us falling out with him. Maybe not liking the music or something. So he always sent us off to someone else to get taught.
Yeah.
He was a great support, but not a teacher of the music in that sense. But yeah, no, it is very, very important to me. And it's hard to express it in some ways because I always played music all the way up. And it's something that kind of came naturally to me, and it was always kind of my go-to thing, you know.
Yeah. And listen, condolences on the death of your father. His mum's mind was
last night. Yeah.
Was he still playing music?
Yeah, it's kind of a funny one, actually. He played fiddle all his life. He was an amazing fiddle player, but arthritis kicked in maybe 20 years ago or so. So he gave up the fiddle and because he couldn't play it that well. He took up the tin whistle, and he actually became a really good tin whistle player. And he used to play a beautiful slow air, and I can't remember name, but something somebody'll text it in, I'm sure. And Buckle Dove, something or other, but Quail Dove or something like that. But he played it the week before he went into hospital in the pub, and someone recorded him, and it was his favourite tune, and he always said he'd love it played at his funeral. So he ended up playing at his own funeral. Which was kind of cool.
Yeah,
and it got a great reaction in the church, you know. So I thought that was really nice.
Yeah. And listen, it sounds like a good life and a good death in the end then, which is so important you realise as you go on, don't
Absolutely.
You? A good death
is
everything. So was it trad music in the house at home then largely?
It was largely, but we all played in the brass band in Turles. My dad played saxophone as well. I had a granduncle years ago. I did a programme called Who Do You Think You Are? People be familiar with it.
Yeah.
But a granduncle of mine was in London during the war, and he played with a band called the Frank Lee Cayley Band. Now, when I used to say it in London, they go, "Frankly," they go, no, Pat, slow it down a little bit.
Strictly Ballroom, Frankie
Cayley Band. So, and he left, when he died, he left his saxophone and flute to my dad, which I ended up getting eventually. So there was always kind of jazz in the house as well.
Okay.
A big influence of jazz.
We'll come to jazz. The first song you've chosen, though, is more, I think, from the trad end of things. So Matt Malloy and Donal Lunny, Books of Aran Moore. Why this?
Well, I again, the flute was the instrument I started with. And I just think Matt Malloy is probably one of the greatest flute players of all time in Ireland. And still is. He's still belting away. And it's just beautiful. And it's an amazing virtuoso piece, I think.
Okay.
Solo piece.
Here it is, Books of Aran Moore. Thank you. extraordinary.
It's incredible. I used to lie in bed when I was young, thinking, how can I do that?
it's like a frenzied trance or something. Yeah, isn't it amazing?
It's beautiful. Yeah.
Bukal Quail Dove is what you were looking for. Somebody generously texted that in. So that was Matt Malloy and Donal Nunney, Books of Orne Mór. Have you passed the music on to your children?
I did, I think. Yeah, my young fella Louis is a great drummer, and my daughter Faye played whistle. She's a beautiful whistle player. And Lily's a great piano player. So, and they're still belting away.
Yeah. So then, okay, we're coming into a bit, just a jazz alert here for people. We're coming into a jazzy section of the show. So your musical career started then as a sax player. And were you, because you were into jazz, or did you get into jazz because you could play the sax?
I got into jazz because it taught girls my think it's cool. I was at that age. No, I started on flute, hence Matt Malloy and that influence. And then I was in the brass band when I was younger, and you could mess around with different instruments in there, which was a great thing about it if you're into music. And I picked up the sax, but the 80s was my kind of generation. You remember that?
Yeah,
was real sax.
Like, yeah,
you know, if you think the pop music, if you look at Wham and all those bands, every band had a sax player. And it also was the start of a cool jazz scene on radio and all that kind of stuff. I'll get to that later on, but that influence of sax. And then my older brothers were big into jazz and influencing us by bringing music into the house. And I came across the Dave Brubeck Quartet and Paul Desmond, and his tone of saxophone really appealed to me as a sax, someone studying the saxophone and learning the saxophone. Just, there's different, to explain to people, there's different different sides of America. The East Coast, which would be New York, would be what would have been known as kind of bop, hard bop, and Brecker, all that, Michael Brecker and all that kind of hard New York style jazz. But then the West Coast would have been more laid back, chilled.
Nice.
Kind of. And yes, exactly. Yeah, that's a reference to the Fast Show there from Brendan. But you're right, absolutely, and more laid back and cool. And it's kind of the same with the like Beach Boys and maybe
and the whole hip hop thing.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's kind of similar influences.
Yeah,
and I thought a great quote from Paul Desmond when he was asked about the tone of his saxophone. What did he want it to sound like? He said he wanted it to sound like two dry martinis. That's cool, isn't it?
Okay, so here is the Paul Desmond Quartet, and this is Bossa Antigua. Yes?
Correct, yes, yeah. Vegetables at home, it's like.
No, some people might say elevator music.
I know, it's absolutely stunning. I mean,
you're
listening to the intro there, once it gets into the solos and performances on the piece as well, it's stunning. Yeah. But no, I just love that tone. People are familiar with Take Five, those big tracks from him, but it's absolutely, it's laid back, it's chilled.
Yeah. Come here, you were big into ska and reggae and that as well. Was there a kind of a big ska scene in Thurles? Because I remember my cousin as well, he was a nutty boy. Like, was there something going on around Thurles?
I don't know, there was. There was a big, like, Thurles, I suppose, was like a lot of probably maybe provincial towns back in those times. You had in this town, the townies themselves, we were rude boys as opposed to nutty boys.
Okay, just explain that differentiation there.
So rude boys would have been the specials, the selector, bands like that. Nutty boys would have been bad manners, and other bands like that, which would have been
Madness would have
somewhere bridging between the two. Straddle Boat. It would be Nutty by that kind of Madness rhythm. The Rude Boys.
You see, the only way we can explain it
is to do this.
You better go online and
check us out. Yeah. But it's true. It's true. And I suppose the Rude Boys would have been more leaning towards reggae and what's called Blue Note music.
So that was a kind of Jamaican influence,
that would have crept in there. The Nutty Boy would have been more kind of street, I suppose, in England.
Yeah, and probably more the English interpreting. Yeah,
yes, correct. I would have thought.
So did you full gear and all that? Did you have a haircut, Lambretta or a Vespa?
Three Lambrettas and a Vespa.
You do not?
Well, we did back then. Yeah. I have a Vespa still to this day, yeah.
Really?
I only took all the lights off it recently and the raccoon tape. I'm quite sad.
Did you go on scooter runs at the weekend? Did you ever park and all that kind of thing?
Yeah, I still have it, yeah. I do motorbikes as well, but once a year, I kind of straddle boat. I drive the motorbikes, but I like the Vespa. It's great fun.
Okay, so you're part of the biker tribe as well, but still part of the aging Rude Boy tribe, right? and here we are talking about all quality music from Jamaica and everything else, and yet your next choice is Chuck Mangione, Give It All You Got, which is more kind of jazz.
So I mentioned earlier on the cool jazz radio, which was Kenny G, and people will be thrown up now in their kitchen. Spitting out, saying, "What's he talking about?" Do you remember that Kenny G craze that went around the world?
And they
back in 1979, Chuck Mangione and himself were kind of the guys driving that scene with the kind of music that they played. But I particularly like the saxophone player in this band. That's why I loved it. I have about three tracks of Chuck Mangione I love. The rest of it, I couldn't bear to listen to. It's all too conceptual and all that kind of stuff.
So did this stuff start out before Kenny G became kind of elevator music? This stuff started out actually quite cool. It just, was it overuse kind of?
I don't know why. It just caught the kind of American kind of mood or something over there around that time.
He
played with Herb Albert and people like that. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Beforehand, Chuck Mangione.
Were you on your own in this entirely? was there anywhere for you to go where you could share this passion?
I had no one to talk to about it. That's why I'm so well versed on. And I'm spitting it out this morning.
finally, someone is willing to listen to me. Okay, so here's Mangione.
Chuck Mangione.
And this is Give It All You Got. This is smooth. It's brilliant on so many levels, isn't it? Like it does conjure so much.
It does.
I feel now we're in a kind of a 70s American cop show, right? I'm wearing a sheepskin jacket, you're wearing a leather blazer, and we're pounding the streets of San Francisco or something.
I was sharing a hotel room with a fellow in Romania there about a month ago, and I was playing this to my full belt. I think he was shocked. I think he was kind of scared of me. Fella from Clare.
Do you still voice this on people on occasion? Yeah. And I'd say they're not expecting it either. Like, that's the great thing. Here's Pat Short. He's great crack. Oh my God. Is this what you did to end the McNulty outside? Hang on a minute, Noenda. I find it here. You look for it on your phone. This one here. This is a different version of it from 1970.
Give me your number and I'll text it on to you. What's happened to you? The poor man of me in the car going back.
It probably is good driving music, I imagine, is it?
Music. I don't know, I'm always on my own when I'm listening.
Now, listen, you're kind of tiptoeing back to music, are you? Because you're doing a new show with Mike Hanrahan from Stockton's Wing. And you're playing music in it, yeah?
Yeah, it's a new show. I'm not sure when it's coming out. We recorded 40 over the summer, and it was an incredible experience, I have to say. We did 20 songs in 20 counties. travelling around. So when it comes out, I think it'll be five counties in each show, an hour-long show. And we took traditional songs, Irish songs, like Raglan Road, Was an Old Woman from Wexford, Spancel Hill, tunes that people would be familiar with, but we did them with young artists that some of them had never heard the songs before. And some of them were rap artists, jazz artists, different styles, spoken word. We did one with a band up in Galway who were Latvian. And they were like, use their culture of no, maybe they're not Latvian, they could be Lithuanian or something.
Actually, steady on. Yeah.
Of that, you know, East, but they were incredible.
Yeah.
Because they played traditional instruments with us, and we did the West Awake with them, which was, you know,
and
it was just amazing. So we played different instruments with them, and kind of we were kind of supporting them, really, is what it was. But it was incredible. So myself and Mike Hanrahan from Stockton's Wing, people know Mike, lead singer Stockton's Wing, but he's a great producer as well,
and a great chef.
He worked with me for a good few years. Yeah. Actually, we knew each other in music, and then worked together running a bar restaurant, but. This was an amazing trip musically, and every day we'd be into a studio with, or into a location where we were shooting with a different artist and working out the piece and what they wanted to do.
It sounds like you were loving it, were you?
Oh, it was incredible. I mean, we had, I'm just trying to think of some of the different people. Norma Manley there from Tipperary, she did Patrick Sheen, or a song known as The Glen of Aherlow, and she's kind of like a jazz singer, jazz blues singer. And did an incredible version of that.
Is this feeding a different part of you then to go back down kind of into music kind of, yeah?
It definitely has me back into it, Brendan. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So look, when you're acting and doing films and touring with comedy, you don't get a chance to play music as much as you'd like. See, it's a muscle memory thing. You need to keep it up. You need to keep it going at it. You'll remember most of it, but to get to a certain level, you need to be doing it all the time. And we spent over a month or so on this while rehearsing, myself and Mike, putting ourselves together. And then it was really challenging every day with the artists, but amazing stuff came out. You know,
but it's a different part of the soul as well as engaged, is it, for you, like?
Yeah, and it's a whole different performance as well.
Yeah.
You know, so you're not front person all the time and stuff, you're back, you know, and you're that kind of, which is lovely as well.
A kind of in an ensemble and vibing off each other and
absolutely,
all that.
Absolutely.
I'm seeing those old jazz guys, like, they look admiringly at each other. You take it now and off he goes. Lovely music from Pat Short. Great to hear about the musicians and his family. Pat is a tonic of a rainy Saturday afternoon. Thank you. See, we didn't even know it was rainy out there because it's like sunny California. It's a sunny West Coast in here. We're drinking. Martinis in the sun. I think I'm a kindred spirit of Pat Short musically. I just love the smooth jazz he's playing. Cooler than cool. Jesus, Kenny G. I had a pal who spent his youth in a Kenny G fantasy world. Roll neck, tan trousers, hush puppies. He knows who he is. That's John in Limerick. So listen, anyway, back to Mike Hanrahan. So your next choice is Stockton's Wing, and it's Skidoo.
Yeah, I didn't go with the big songs. This is amazing tune. And I think this kind of reflects their what they did. I remember when I was young in London, I worked at the age of 15 in London, and I had a Sony Walkman, the first, I think they're only just out. And I had, that was the only tape I had, which was Stockton's Wing. And I listened to this tune. And I loved their fusion of traditional music and funk and stuff like that. They were kind of
prog, like.
They were.
In the classic sense, quite progressive, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. At the time, they were just doing something no one had ever done before. Moving Hearts were around the same time. There was a great explosion of trad fusion of whatever you want to call it, whether it was jazz or whether it was funk or whatever. And they were definitely leading that.
If only it comes around, kind of, doesn't it? Probably about every 20 years, like there's a new generation now discovering the folk heritage and doing their thing. Okay, so here's Stockton's Wing and Skidoo. Thank you. again, like they're in it, like, aren't
there's a vibe.
They?
Yeah. There yeah, is a yeah, vibe yeah, there. Yeah, there's yeah, no question yeah, of yeah. it. Yeah, yeah.
Listen, music aside, you're heading back on the road with Faye, your yes. daughter. You have a new show, Knuckle Down. So this is the second show. You don't see. So you obviously didn't
we're
kill each other
on,
the
we're
first
in there
time.
Together.
Yeah, yeah. Is it a nice way to have a relationship with her, kind of, you know, with your adultish daughter? Yeah,
it's okay.
Yeah. Okay.
I know, it's great. It is. It's great. It's brilliant touring, and yeah, like the first tour was kind of it was great fun, but first time we're out together working, you know. And she's very funny. I mean, I remember one night driving back, she says, "Jesus, Dad, if I told my 11 year old me that I was going to be driving home from work with me dad at 2 o'clock in the morning,
listening to smooth jazz."
Yeah. No, that's the one thing, being a dad, you're never allowed near the radio.
And career, what do you bring and what does she bring?
Well, I know, like, she just brings a youthfulness and energy to the show. And it's a totally different angle. I mean, really, she's doing a lot of stand up in this current show and talking about life from her perspective as a 25-year-old, you know, and the world that she's in.
Yeah.
Of course, my world is kind of different, you know what I mean? So it's kind of brings those different sides and dimensions of each other to it.
And is she bringing in a younger crowd, yeah?
I don't know.
I don't mean to suggest that you wouldn't be bringing in the teeny boppers yourself.
Hey, anyone in their 50s is young to me.
But there's a bit more, you're doing more social media and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, we are, I suppose. Yeah. That is a truth. Yeah. Well, of course, she's more on top of that, you know, and that's more. Oh, look, it took me a while to get my head around the social media, Brendan. I have to be honest with you. You know, I mean, you know, you putting yourself out there, and it's a very different way of putting yourself out there, I think.
Yeah.
And it takes time to kind of adjust and realize that it's, you know, coming from our background, which would be more my background, I should say, which would be more traditional way of approaching advertising, things like that and everything else. And it is just the way of the world now. And we're embracing it and getting into it. But I was slow coming to it, I have to say. You know, I'm being honest.
You feel a little bit exposed, like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I don't know what to say. I don't know. Personally.
Yeah,
I was never one for, like.
So you controlled your exposure more before.
Well, my personal exposure. I would always talk about work, never about me.
Yeah. Okay.
And I always like to keep it that way, but social media tends to just bridge that a little bit.
Okay. Where will I find this personal stuff to get out of here now?
Well, I think it's personal. It probably isn't.
So what's the next phase now for you? Like, you've kind of done it all now, the pathos, the comedy, the music, everything. Like, where are you getting on to this stage of life now? Where?
I like working. And look, the music show is, it's kind of like a whole breath of fresh air for me. And, you know, I'm looking at maybe what's the next move in that area with music. I might do some more music. I'm loving doing the comedy. I love touring, doing what I do, because you're in control and you kind of drive your own destiny. We'll decide where we want to tour.
Yeah.
Seth and Faye, and when we want to do and when we don't want to do and all that. And then when films and TV stuff come in, you don't know when they'll ever come in. Because people are making stuff. I'm talking with some people at the moment. I'm up in the Loud Film Festival this weekend. I'm nominated for an Actors Award there.
This is for Banshees of Inisherin.
No, this is for a short film I did called The Life of Lester Wink with Cassidy Harrison, a director from LA, and we did this film last year down in Limerick. And it's more of an international kind of feel to it. But we're out in New Zealand at the moment, and we're shortlisted down to 7 out of 1,500. So it's up against ourselves and what's his name? The Office, what's his name?
Ricky Gervais.
Yeah, okay. He's got a short in it. So that's a big one down there. We're screening for 3 weeks in New Zealand down there.
Okay, and can people see that anywhere? Can they?
Not at the moment, because it's a kind of, unless you're at the festivals. If anyone's in Loud tomorrow, it's screening.
Okay.
Today.
But it's on the festival circuit.
It's on the festival circuit around the world, yeah.
Did you have any ideas that the Banshees of Inisherin was going to be the sensation it became at the time? Or did you feel you were making another maybe interesting kind of, you know, bog gothic-y Irish?
I love Martin's work. So,
And he loves you.
He does. Yeah, I hope. I love his work. I've worked with him on Broadway and West End, so I'm familiar with his international acknowledgement. Let's say, put it like that.
Yeah.
And then, look, all you have to do is look at his last few films, Oscar-winning, 3 Billboards, so on and so forth. There is going to be attention to a film, and then you've got Brendan Gleeson, and you've got Colin Farrell, You know, and Barry Keoghan and Kerry. So you've got big names in it as well. So of course it's going
but
to...
But it mightn't have felt like a film that would travel. Like, it was very, very hyper-local, wasn't it?
Yeah, but some of the smaller things like that tend to be more universal. If you try to be universal, it'll probably get lost. Yeah. I mean, when I got the script first, and I was talking to a friend of mine about it in Los Angeles, and he said, what's it about? And I kind of briefly explained to him about it. I said, like, look, it's about a fella that is friends with another fella, and then they decide not to be friends anymore. And he said, Jesus, only Martin McDonagh could pitch that in LA and get money for it. Which is so true. And I mean, there's a lot more to it than that. But like Martin's, well, I'm not going on about Martin's work, there's better people to talk about it than me, but it's about relationships and stuff like that, which affects everybody, you know, no matter who you are. Yeah. So in that sense, it has a universal feel. It's about the emotions and relations.
Yeah.
And then he's absolute mastery at telling a story, which is incredible, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, I think people have really enjoyed hearing you and having a good laugh. And like, the great thing about you, Pat, is if they're not laughing, you're usually laughing, then they join in. So, like, you know, I think people go away with the impression, Jesus, that was a great laugh.
It was only himself laughing. Thank you, Brendan.
So last song. Jesus, you're laughing. I think you're really laughing.
I'm laughing at you, Brendan. That's funny.
Lyle Lovett and his large band, and that's right. You're not from Texas.
Yeah.
And I think this brings you back to a particular time, does it?
Well, it does. It brings. There's two interesting stories about this. I was sitting down the other day, plotting the tunes, because it's a tough job to pick out the tunes that you know, because there's so many that reflect different things. And with that, I got a text from a friend of mine in Nashville with Lyle Lovett, and he sent me a photograph of the two of them. So I thought I got to include him into it, and it reminded me of that. That time in the 90s when people would remember this big explosion of country music, and I'm talking about American country. There was in the last while an explosion of Irish country music. Back then it was, I don't know how it happened, but it came about, and there was like loads of big stars coming over to Ireland playing in the Point. There was the Sessions, all that, those gigs. And I ended up playing the band called Big John the Bootlegging Band in Limerick. We toured around, we did Bad Balls, we did the usual circuit. And it was great crack. And you got to dress up in cowboy hats and stuff.
and like country standards, or were you writing your own country?
No, we were playing covers, country standards. Like Lyle Lovett and various others, you know. There was a great musician in the band, John Brown. He's dead since. And gosh, his brother Willie only died recently. He was in Reform, very well-known musical family in Limerick. John was way older than us, and he was Big John. He was about 6 foot something.
Okay,
and he played in the show band circuit, and he played with a bass. But the whole family of them were great country singers as well. He got the big deep voice and all that kind of thing. So we had such good crack touring with those guys.
Yeah. Geez, you might go back and do a bit of that again, which I'd say that the time has nearly come for that.
It nearly has. I'll be here when it comes around, I'd say.
Yeah. Pat Short and his big band. So this is Lyle Lovett and his large band, and that's right, you're not from Texas. Just before we play that, people can catch the new show, Pat, Knuckle Down, all around the country in October, starting on October 14th. Is that called Tech-A-Murgan?
In
Waterville in County Kerry. And for more details and tickets, go to patshort.com. Pat Short, thank you so much.
Thank you, Brendan.
I tell you what, I am very grateful for you coming in and giving us such a lift, but the listeners are hugely grateful for you.
Thank you very much.
We'll leave you now with Lyle Lovett. Okay.